Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the DesignFootball.com podcast, the place where all going to plan, two or more people discuss recent goings on in the world of football design. My name is Jay, I'm the resident blogger on DesignFootball.com, and for this inaugural episode I'm joined by writer, graphic designer and the man behind the True Colours books, John Devlin. Hi John, how are you?
Hello Jay, I'm good thanks, and yourself?
Yeah, completely normal.
Excellent.
Excellent, that's as good as it gets for me.
It's good to be normal.
Yeah, I suppose so. So it's been an eventful time in the world of football design, would you agree?
It hasn't, I think there's lots going on, and I think there's plenty to discuss, but it's at the same time there's not a lot happening as well simultaneously, if that makes sense.
I think we'll pass on whether that makes sense.
Maybe we'll expand on it as we go.
Yeah. The main thing I think at the minute is the Euro 2016 kits. So most of these have been released or certainly leaked to an extent where everyone knows what they look like. Are there any that stand out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's several really, really good ones there. As ever, it's a real mixed bag for me with Adidas. I think I do have a love-hate relationship with Adidas, as I'm sure most people who follow me will know. Some of the stuff they do is just absolutely brilliant, and I think taking that step now to really look at the application of the three stripes, just something I've been going on about for ages, is really good. And I think changing the way that works has been a real success. But then there's some other really mediocre stuff there as well, I think. But maybe that's the nature of the beast. Maybe that's what football kit design will always be like.
Yeah. I mean, personally, I love it. I think the shift in the Adidas stripes will fascinate. And I know it's something that you've moaned about a lot. I mean, you were entirely correct in the sense that it just gets a little bit tedious having them down the sleeves for a long time. So a couple of seasons ago, they seemed to bring back the horizontal thing as it was like a band on the sleeves and on the shorts. Mm. And I'm not sure whether to what extent that was allowed, certainly on the shorts. Interestingly, I think it's Hamilton Academical in Scotland, where maybe an own brand shirt, but they also wear it with those sort of Adidas shorts with the band around the leg, and they wear Adidas socks as well, which is just a weird thing. But they shifted back to that, which was something we saw in the mid-90s, and now they've gone for something which we haven't really seen since the early 80s, maybe even late 70s with Man
That's
United.
Right. That's it. And to be honest with you, Man United were the only club that really went to town with that design, with their sort of, I think it was their first Adidas away kit in 1980.
Yeah, so that's where they've shifted to now, and for me it's a great idea. It's something you'd seen in their leisure wear stuff and their like just general fitness and training stuff, that you'd seen it for a couple of years unrelated to football, and now they've brought it into football. For me it's a great thing, but the best thing about it for me is it ties in with some great new kits. So if that had been the new feature alone, then it probably wouldn't have had the same impact. But the new kits for me, a lot of them are very exciting. Some of them you don't really understand what's going on, but some of them are particularly exciting. For me, the Spain one is the Spain home shirt, let's start with.
Yeah.
Is that one that's tickled your fancy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Spain shirt is like, it's kind of like the French shirt. It's very hard to get badly wrong, although that's not to say that hasn't been achieved. But it is. I mean, the colour scheme is great. I think going back to a nice bright red as well works really well. So again, it's a good solid kit, and there's that lovely shadow pattern within there as well, which I think is such a great design trick for football shirts. It's and it works so well. It's really classy and really elegant.
Yeah, I mean, we've just talked about the shirt there, and the colour scheme is great. I think this is it, yellow stripes down the side of the shirt.
That's
which,
right, yeah.
Which obviously ties in with the flag and looks again like the old Le Coq Sportif and Adidas shirts of the 80s, and I think mainly the 80s. Mm. So that's a great thing there. But also the kit as a whole, because it's gone back to this classic idea that I think maybe amongst kit geeks particularly, we have the idea of what colours does Spain wear. And recently they've worn all red, they've worn blue shorts with red socks and so on. But this is red shirt, blue shorts, and I'm told they're navy socks. But
oh, okay.
They,
right.
Yeah, but they look black to me. And I think the idea is that they are black socks, unless they were always wearing navy socks and we were always wrong thinking that they were wearing black socks. I don't know.
But it's really interesting because I think what you've just touched upon is the very essence of a lot of international kits is the way that the colours work. The colours, how can I put it? Even when you look at some of the African kits, because some of the colour schemes are so unusual, that the blend of colours that we don't normally get in domestic football, that's what makes international kits so exciting. And I think when we return to that, it gives it such a boost. And it looks, again, it looks different, doesn't it? It looks like a real proper international, top-of-the-range kit. And I think that's what they've done with Spain this time round.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And the worrying thing now, and it's a shame to say it, but you say, okay, well, now they've made like almost a definitive Spain shirt, or Spain kit, sorry. And it's a shame that the crest is just one colour, but that's a trend, and it doesn't work too badly on that Spain shirt. But you just wonder now, where do you go from that? And it was the thing we had with Umbro when they, the tailored by England shirt was fantastic. You've done brilliantly here, but what's next? And as it turned out with England, it kind of went downhill from that point onwards as a result.
Do you know what, Joe? I'll say you won't believe this, you probably will. I lay awake at night wondering these very facts, and I often think, where do we go next? Where do kit designers go next with any kit that they design? And I'm not going to harp on about this, but the speed of change of kits on a yearly cycle is making that a more and more relevant question. Each time, how do they top it? Do they have to top it? Is it just a continuation? There's all sorts of kind of design theory I think you can apply to this to try and understand and analyse where kit design can go. Because it's like, we always had a kind of modernist approach, didn't we, throughout the 80s, when it was getting more and more kind of slick and more... forward thinking. And then of course we had that massive retro thing at the end of the 80s where we actually look back towards other influences, and that's kind of it makes you wonder what happens next.
That's interesting. The 80s thing is when people actually, it dawned on people, all right, they'd been Admiral, but around that time people, it dawned on people, actually we've got to do something, we've actually got to design a kit. It's not fair to go to a new manufacturer, you do V-neck collars rather than round neck collars. Okay, well that's fine. We'll stick our badge on that instead. Yeah. That was the thing of the past. Suddenly it was, oh, this is a thing. This is, we've got to actually design these. And it went from we'll design it a bit to we'll design it a bit more. And now we're actually going to like wipe it completely clean and say, okay, where do we start with this? Okay, so we're going to add this, and then we're going to have a watermark, and then we're going to, and it became something that they had to create from scratch. But then you get to saturation point where done everything. Late 80s, as you say, everyone went, okay, well, now we've got to start from the beginning again. And to go through that cycle, and I suppose if you look at it from the outside, you can say all we've done is gone through that cycle over and over again,
building
up. And certainly the last 4 or 5 years, we've stripped everything back, and suddenly everything's coming back in. And that moves us quite interestingly on to the Spain away shirt.
Yeah.
Which... all right, it harks back to the early 90s, but it's such a bold pattern, and personally I love it. I think it's fantastic. But what was your take on it?
See, I think a lot of people assume that I'm an old how can I put it, an old traditionalist. I always want retro designs and what have you. And, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. Football kits need to evolve. They need to be stunning. And this Spain shirt is stunning. It's simply brilliant. You know, there's a concept behind it, of course, but I'm always wary of that. I know how design, being a designer myself, I know how I can tag a concept onto something to justify it. But from pure aesthetics alone, the thing that struck me was that this Adidas got exactly right what Warrior were trying to do with the Liverpool shirts, but failed. They just didn't have, in my view, they didn't have the aesthetic eye that Adidas have. And Adidas have just nailed this. It's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think you're bang on there. And if you look at proportions as well, I don't know which shirts you're particularly looking at, but the 2013-14, I think, is that the season the Liverpool won with the white away shirt with the rubbish at the bottom? Is that 13-14?
I think it would be, actually, yes.
2013-14. So that was the horrendous shirt. And something about that shirt, because I wrote a piece about it saying how terrible it was. And then they started winning it. And they won at Man United in it. And I just thought, oh my God, they're going to win the league. And this is going to go down as one of the great, iconic Liverpool shirts because they won the league in it. And then they went to Crystal Palace and threw away the 3-0, being 3-0 up and drew 3-0 and threw away the league completely. And so that was, I mean, I was gutted. I'm a Liverpool fan. But I looked at it and went, at least that shirt's not going to be regarded as a classic. That justice has been done.
Being a Liverpool supporter as well, Jay, I'm still just too shell-shocked by the football. I didn't even think about this shirt for the first time ever. I was just so gutted at that point. But it's a very, very good point you make. And one thing I always try to do in True Colours, I don't think I ever came out rightly and said it, or I might have done, but I always try to imply that when a team looks good, they play good and they win things. And I always like to draw that analogy. And of course, what you said is kind of thrown a bit of a spanner in the works there, because it proves that's not always the case.
Well, it's always part of the marketing spiel, isn't it? Whenever a new kit's released, they go to a player and say, what do you think of the new kit? And obviously someone's been in their ear and said to them, what you need to say is that when the kit looks good, you feel good and you feel more confident and empowered on the pitch. And it's just like, they're just like, I just want to get back to the bookies or video games or something. Is this...
But having said that, did you see, I mean, we're going to go, I don't want to go off topic too much now, as Euro 2016 isn't a relevant part of this, as you'll find out, with the new Scotland shirts. Did you watch the videos for the launch of that when they talked to the players?
No.
You must. I'll send you a link, because if you read between the lines, none of the players say anything positive about the kits at all. It's really, they almost, you listen to it, and then all the comments on Facebook were just, well, they don't like them then, do they? Because not at one point have they said, well, I really love this pink shirt, it's really working for me.
And I think that's... Stay on message, footballers, stay on message.
Exactly, yeah, the media training went a bit awry there, I feel. But you know, it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not surprising. And it's quite refreshing. You could probably regard it as that. Going back to what you're saying, obviously the contrast is there between that Spain shirt, which I think is wonderful. Mm. The contrast is there between that and that Liverpool shirt, because if you look at the proportions of the shirt in terms of white versus... the anything that adds to it, so you've got that pattern and so on. Patterns aren't that dissimilar. It's angular, it's triangles and so on. And proportionally speaking, they're similar. But one is terrible. One is just fantastic. The balance is bang on. They've got it right. So sometimes you just have to hold your hands up and say, well, I mean, obviously I'm an admin on a website which is all about the amateurs know more than the professionals, or purportedly so, at least. But sometimes you just go, well, that's just fantastic. All right, a white kit, an all-white kit is a decent starting point. So any embellishment that you add on to that is... you've got to do badly to go wrong, and Warrior obviously did terribly. But it worked out perfectly, and it's a great shirt. And looking close up at it seems a little bit blurred, but I assume... Okay. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt... that it's like got a shadow to it, so it's like the design echoes. But no, I'm not going to suggest for a second that it was a mistake or a printing error or anything like that. It's got to be deliberate as well, and it doesn't really bother me. It's not something I realised straight away when I saw the leaked images and the publicity images. But when you see it's sublimated, and it's got a little bit of echo on it, but it still works.
And it's reminiscent for me of the, I think it was the 1990 Italia World Cup, with the Czech and the Russian shirts that Adidas did at the time, which had that kind of, again, a very loose, very random, tiny little diamonds sort of going across the chest. Do you remember that? And it's kind of splattered down the shirt almost. Again, it's so outrageous, and you could almost see no rhyme nor reason behind it. But it just really worked again, you know? And I think that's what's going on here. But when you compare the two Spanish shirts side by side, I don't know about you, and of course this will hopefully dispel the rumours that I'm sort of, you know, only want traditional shirts. You look at the home shirt and the away shirt together, and they almost look like they're coming from two different universes. And it makes the home shirt, in you know, a relation to it, look quite staid and traditional, really. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see all football shirts really pushing it, like the Spanish away shirt.
Well, this is supposedly the traditional approach, isn't it? You keep very much to the club and what the club means and the traditional idea with the home kit, but the away kit, that's your license to have fun with it. So that they've kept to that, but done it brilliantly on both counts.
That's true. I do see that. It's I always heart, and I think I've mentioned this before. I always remember a chat I had with a Nike designer at Wembley once, and he said to me, kind of a little bit off the record, that he felt kits haven't developed as much as they should have done. He said, if you look at all other sports, all other apparel for rugby, for athletics, for everything, has really developed. You know, they're wearing either skin tight kind of all in one costumes, or the rugby stuff's got really, really unrippable collars, and all these sort of things going on. He said, but he found that football hadn't, and that really stuck in my mind. And I thought, do you know what? I think you're right. And I know that they try to look at a seamless shirt and an all-in-one shirt and all this all-in-one kit and all this stuff. And that's where I think we need to be. The designers need to be looking. They need to be really pushing what a football kit could be.
The thing with rugby, and I agree with this, and one day I'd like, well, we'll see how it goes, but one day it'd be nice to have a podcast maybe dedicated to rugby and in rugby kits and how they've influenced football and vice versa. But the thing with football is there are so many limitations.
Yeah.
If you look at what Cameroon and Puma, in the 2000s, they released a couple of kits which did go away from the norm like that, and immediately they were slapped with fines, and I think maybe they were docked World Cup qualifying points. And it is there. You do need a pioneer sometimes to actually kick things on. As soon as FIFA come out and say, well, no, you're not allowed to do that, then everyone maybe gets a little bit jumpy and says no. In a more general sense, there are limitations on badge size, on manufacturer size, on one-piece kits. With the Cameroon kit, you weren't allowed that, so you had to have separate items, even though I think that they argued that the rules didn't actually state that, but they were still fined and they had to change their kit. So, yeah, there is definitely an argument that football lags behind rugby, and there's so many fantastic things in rugby that we won't get into now, but the things that I've been calling for in football, and then you see it in rugby and you just go, why hasn't that happened in football? And there's so much money in football compared with rugby. You'd think that there'd be the innovators would be there. But yeah, it's a good point.
I mean, I wonder, you know, when you look at the state, the absolute mess FIFA are in at the moment, I wonder if there will be a change that will come out of this. Because rugby's a different sport. Of course it is. It's much slower, isn't it? There's arguably not a need for so much colour clash issues and what have you. And that's why you get these really leery rugby kits. But I think it's they're a good, in terms of innovation, it's a great inspiration to look to, is what's going on in rugby.
There are some fantastic things. I won't go into them now because I'll save that for maybe another discussion another day, but yeah, it's great what they're doing. Regarding the Euro 2016 kits, the other one would be Germany. I think that's the one that's with the two German kits.
Yeah.
Are these things that you've seen?
Yeah. I must confess, they wouldn't be top of my list of wow. The German one's okay. The home one's okay. The away one, I struggle with a bit. I don't get that. I don't get the away one. I'm a little bit stuck in my way sometimes. I do have a problem with grey on a football shirt. And I think there's that grey feel that comes from that away shirt. Doesn't sit with me too well. What's the home kit, the full kit for is it black shorts?
It is. This is an interesting thing because it is black shorts, but it's also black socks, which I don't think is traditional for Germany. Now, this is something that I've just noticed the past few days, looking at some of the rumours about other kits, like Nike kits and so on, for Euro 2016, most of which haven't been released yet, I don't think. And the new thing, and this is going to be... This might surprise you if you haven't heard this rumor, but the new thing is that you can't, or you don't, they don't appear to be making kits where the colors revert to the shirt color. So for example, the classic Italy kit is blue shirt, white shorts and blue socks.
Okay.
So you have color one, color two, then color one again. Mm. They don't seem to be doing that. I think what's happening now is, I think Portugal have gone, although I'm not sure what colours they wore, but I think they've gone red shirt, red shorts and green socks. So there is a change in colour, but it's not, you don't have the split in colour. So France are going blue shirt, blue shorts and red socks. So they're not having the white shorts. So whether you're not allowed to go dark, light, dark, maybe that might be a new thing. But we never really know.
Is that a Nike thing though?
Well, it follows with Germany because they've got a white shirt, then black shorts and black socks as well, and they're obviously Adidas.
Okay.
The Spain, obviously they're red shirt, and then they've got dark shorts and socks, I suppose. I'm not really sure, but the traditional look, obviously with the last World Cup, the whole thing was one colour kits. Mm. Well, that doesn't seem to be continuing. The big rumour is, and we'll get back to those Germany kits in a second, but the big rumour at the minute is that England are going to be wearing white shirt, white shorts and red socks.
Really?
Okay. Apparently. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I'm a big lover of socks. I think socks are the secret weapon in a kit designer's armoury. I think you can really make or break a kit by the socks. Classic examples being, off the top of my head, Celtic a few years back when they went back to black socks.
Yeah.
With a kit. Aston Villa did something similar. Scotland, of course, always wear, you know, varying the sock colours. I think it gives a chance to bring a really, really fresh look to a kit, but without completely dismantling the traditional aspect of it. And quite often, the influence for these different coloured socks comes from way, way, way back, you know, early 20th century designs and Victorian designs even. You know, so there is an argument to say that they are traditional as well. But I think it's a really good way. It's like, I guess it's like a guy going into working in the city and wearing a black suit, white shirt and having a Mickey Mouse tie. You know, that's your kind of way to show your individuality, have a bit of colour there. I like to think of socks being something similar, so I'm quite open to this idea. I quite like that.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I mean...
Not the Mickey Mouse tie. Just
Mickey Mouse socks. Mickey Mouse socks. I want to see a team wearing those.
There you go.
I think for a lot of clubs, in the old days, I think a lot of clubs used to allow their players, like the Barbarians do in rugby, used to allow their players to wear their international socks. So,
right.
Before the days of actually realising that it would be quite handy if players of opposing sides wore different coloured socks, to obviously for clash reasons and so on, they were allowed to wear whatever, so model zone, let's call it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the old kits are referenced, I think, I might be making this up, but I think a lot of the old kits are references wearing black socks, when in fact the black just denotes that it was... the players could wear their own international socks.
Really? I didn't
I think
know
that's
that.
The case with Liverpool. It's worth actually investigating this, and if we're wrong, just hurl abuse on Twitter or whatever. But I think that was the notion behind it. So there is potential there. The England thing for me is particularly close to my heart. I used to run a football team in London called Marcel Tipul, and it's long gone now anyway. But our kit we used to wear, and it was all model zone because we never got to the stage of actually entering a league, but we played a few friendlies. It was white shirt, white shorts and red socks. So that obviously the England kit is great. Also, the other thing with that outfit is it was what they wore against Brazil, if I remember rightly, when Mark Hatley and John Barnes scored that goal. They wore white shirt, white shorts. So there's a decent memory there as well. It's an interesting thing where either it's at the behest of the tournament organizer or of the association, or most likely I suppose the manufacturers, for whatever reason they're saying your traditional look is not going to be worn, this is what we're doing this year, which I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't have a problem with that. I think Nike might miss a trick in not bringing back blue shorts. I think that might disrupt a few people, and of course bringing in that big expanse of dark color can really change the kit. And I think that's the other thing people need to be thinking about, is making the kit sufficiently different so that people think, I'm spending 50 quid, 60 quid on this from a replica point of view, which I think is always dangerous to analyse kits purely with a replica hat on, if you like, but giving them some degree of value as well, some degree of, you know, change. But I think that, you know, socks are so important, as we've said many times before. It's shirt clashes first, then sock clashes. So the shorts are almost by the by. It's really the socks that are the killer thing. And maybe some of these design, the kit companies now are waking up to this fact that actually that's when they can make or break a kit, perhaps. I don't know. Maybe that's a bit too far. But no, it's an interest. It'd be interesting to see what they do.
I agree with that from a marketing point of view. That the couple of seasons ago, again, I can't remember, but it's two or three years, I suppose, when Celtic changed back to the black socks. They, as it turned out, they didn't wear them that often.
I think they wore them.
No, they wore them, I think, to a certain extent in home matches in the league. In Europe, they tended to wear the white socks, I think, depending on who they were playing against, maybe. I think it was a, it got to a stage where the rumour was that the players didn't like wearing black socks. They wanted to wear the traditional look. It became a little bit unlucky as well. I think they lost a lot of games when they wore the black socks. So it was not something that was popular with the fans. But I bought those socks because it was a one-off moment. You went, okay, well, they're not going to be doing this again this season. It's great that they've done it. And it was something that on designfootball.com and Football Shirt Culture, the galleries on there, it had been done by amateur designers so many times. They've brought back these black socks because they've gone through the websites of the show, the old kits and so on, and they'd found examples of Celtic wearing these old black socks, and they thought, well, why haven't they brought that back? And eventually they did. I think it may have been an anniversary they brought it back for. I think
white socks are definitely popular. I know that obviously there was that little phase about, goodness, it's probably about 10 years or so ago now, when Alex Ferguson would always make Man United wear white socks if it was a floodlit game. I think there was some, because there was a classic match I always remember that they played Chelsea, and they were playing at Old Trafford, and United changed to white socks, and of course Chelsea then had to change to blue socks. So it was an odd thing, but I think Ferguson had something in his beanie's bonnet about floodlights and white socks. Yeah. I don't know, but it's
they do wear, I think they still wear, even with Van Gaal in charge now, I think they still wear white socks for all European games,
which of course 9 times out of 10, if not 10 times out of 10, they're all floodlit, aren't they?
Vast majority of the time, the people at it certainly.
So I don't know, but no, let's see. I'd be really interested to see, and I think we're just waiting for Nike kits, aren't we? We've had the Puma ones as well, so I'm really excited to see what they're going to come up with.
Yeah, just back on those socks, the same season the Celtic swapped them to black socks, the Olympique de Marseille started wearing blue socks with their home kit, which they'd done in the past as well.
Okay.
And they wore white socks with their all blue away kit, and as it turned out, they ended up swapping back for most, a lot more in the end. I think maybe they kept it for the home games that season. But if there was any reason, then any sort of permutation of that sort of away game or European game, they'd be wearing the traditional look again. Yeah. They'd wear white socks with the home kit and blue with blue away kit.
And it doesn't always work. I think with that England kit, I'm trying to visualise it as we're talking, and you think it's almost, and we talked about this when we looked at the 50 greatest shirts ever some time ago, it's the imbalance. It's almost a perverse imbalance, isn't it, of colour? And by doing that, it is going to look odd. But I know, for example, my old local side, Southend United, they're wearing white socks again this season, but with a navy shirt and navy shorts, and it doesn't work. It really doesn't work, because it's almost a massive expanse of dark, and then that little bit of white at the bottom, and the socks are really just off the shelf team wear things, and it isn't happening at all. So it doesn't always work, you know.
Doesn't look like it's the kit. It doesn't look like it's part of the kit. It looks like the kit has been bought in terms of the shirt and the shorts, and then they've gone, okay, well, these are the cheapest socks we find, throw those on with it, which is a shame.
So it doesn't always happen.
It's an integral part of the outfit, and it should be given more importance. Yeah,
definitely.
Regarding what we were talking about, the Germany away kit, it's horrible. I mean, it's not just my taste.
It's not just me, then, is it?
It's worth talking about. And by the way, Denmark, where they have got the same design, but in, I think, white and grey or something.
Okay.
Which looks all right, but
yeah, Denmark ones. I think they're top notch. I like the Denmark kits.
The Denmark home is based on the 86 design, I think, but I think it's phoned in. But they're not going to Euro 2016 in the end. They got beaten by Zlatan Ibrahimovic rather than Sweden, but they're out anyway.
So, okay, not going to be there. Mm.
Well, yeah, their shirts still exist.
they didn't burn them all in protest.
Well, maybe they should. That should be the next thing. Yeah. Well, I don't know if they. Maybe they wore it in the playoff. They probably did wear it in the playoff. Anyway, the Germany away shirt. The interesting thing about it, if I don't know if you'll like this or dislike it. If you turn it inside out, it's a bib. Were you aware of this?
I haven't heard this. No, go on. What's this?
Well, this the shirt. Germany, what they do in training, and they have done for a long, long time. I think maybe. Well, I don't know how it's traditional. Yeah. Is that they will wear their outfield kits in training, but with covered in sponsors.
Right. So, okay.
So I don't know if this is a reference to that or what. They tend to be the home kit that they'd wear in training with the sponsors and so on. But what they've done. This is the away kit, so I don't know if it's a nod to that or not, but if you turn it inside out, it's a luminous greeny-yellow sort of training bib that you'd wear in five-a-side games in training and so on. So it's such a random thing where I don't know if I like it or I want to buy the shirt and just because it's the most ridiculous thing that
I do like it. I'm a big sort of form follows function fan. You know, I like anything that's designed to actually do what it's supposed to do. It's got to, obviously from a football shirt perspective, it's got to look different, and maybe we'll touch on that a bit later on. It's got to look different from the opponents. But also, there's all sorts of things, even with rugby. I don't want to go on about rugby again, but with Adidas and the All Black shirts, if I remember correctly, they've got different styles of shirts for the backs and for the forwards, constructed in a different way because of the different uses that they'll have on the pitch. So I really like the idea that this can work in that way. I mean, one thing that really bothered me, perversely, probably wouldn't bother anybody else, I think it was in the last World Cup when they showed footage of England training and the Vauxhall logo, and they wore bibs, and it clashed, and there was two logos, and they kind of overlapped, or they one poked out the other. It just didn't work. It wasn't thought through, and it didn't look good. And I like the idea that actually all these shirts have got a real purpose and a real function other than their number one, if you know what I mean.
For me, and this is like an ongoing part of my life, is whenever I don't play football anymore, and I was never any good when I played, but I look at the kits being released and I go, oh, well, maybe I could join a football team just so I can wear that. So that shirt, I look at it and go, yeah, I'm gonna ring round some local football teams and see what colour bibs they use in training. Yeah, that's right. And when it's time to pass out the bibs, I'll go, no, I'm sorted, and just tear my Germany away shirt, which looks horrible. And everyone's been laughing at me for the duration, not just because I'm terrible at football, but because of this awful shirt I'm wearing. I just turn it inside out, and I don't need to wear one of their smelly bibs that I
can
catch some kind of disease from. But the it's not going to happen. I don't like humans, so that's not going to happen. But there is always that, and sometimes I'll see like football boots and so on. And
yeah,
we'll get onto that in a minute, maybe. But I look at it and go, yeah, maybe I should get back to playing football just so I could wear that.
I know what you mean. Yeah, because you're almost giving. It's all very well lounging around the house wearing a football shirt, but it's not quite the same as wearing it, you know, on a field of play, is it? You know, definitely.
It's the full outfit for me. Obviously, oh, really? I like base layers as well, and like justifying wearing a base layer while you're eating a like pie and chips whilst with a tray on your lap whilst watching football TV. It's not a pleasant sight.
But you know what, Joe? Can I just mention something that actually we've kind of slipped into quite naturally here, I think, is that one thing that I've had a problem with some of these Adidas kits, and the Germany one fits the bill a little bit, as does the Sweden away, is that they've got a bit of a leisure shirt feel to them rather than a football shirt feel. I don't know if you think that as well. Maybe it's just me, but it almost looks like there's a different vibe about them that makes me think they shouldn't be on a pitch. Belgium away is a little bit of that as well. It hasn't got quite the same sharp feel that it should do.
The Belgium away shirt is based on, I can't remember his name, but there's a very famous Merckx, Eddy Merckx. Is that a Belgian cyclist, maybe?
Oh, but there's a bell.
They have their cycling team wears a blue shirt with the Belgian flag across it as a band, and that's what the Belgium away shirt is based on, I believe. I have no idea. I mean, you speak to people and you say, well, okay, well, what's the reason for it? And they say, ah, well, it's the reason for it is the cycling team wear this. And then you ask the question again and say, what is the reason for it? Why have they decided to say, we've got a cycling team, and now that cycling team is going to influence? I don't sometimes see the work in.
No.
It's like, here's an idea, here's the end product, but there's nothing in between it. And I like Sorry, go on, John.
I was just going to say, I think you're right. And the beautiful thing is, when you sit down and think about this, as I know that you do, football's got such a wonderful, rich heritage. There's so much to draw on. Why on earth are they looking at cycling to pull that in? I know exactly what you mean. You think, have you not got enough? Is there not enough colours within your palette at the moment that you feel the need to then do this? And I think that's where things are going a little bit wobbly at the moment.
I agree with your reasoning completely there. I personally don't actually mind that German the Belgium away shirt. I think it's actually okay. And we can have a boring argument about whether you're allowed to have a big flag across your shirt or not. Apparently in the European Championships you can, I suppose. But the other thing which you mention regarding the shirts looking like leisure shirts is the there was a competition on Design Football a little while ago where someone set it up and said, just pick something out of your wardrobe and make a design, make a football shirt based on that. And that seems to be, there were some great entries, but that seems to be a little bit of the thinking behind these away shirts, the Sweden one particularly. I know which one you're talking about. And
so what I'm gonna read between the lines here. What you're saying is, with that Sweden away, because I'm getting, as soon as you've said that now, I'm getting a man's, what's the phrase? What's the current trend in pyjamas? It's like a leisure pyjama top feel, isn't it? I think there's that kind of, it looks like there's even a kind of texture to it as well. That looks to me like someone would wear when they're off to bed. and of course, there's a bright blue and yellow badge stuck on it, which really, really clashes tonally. It doesn't match, but you're absolutely right. That's the vibe of that shirt, I think.
This is the whole thing at the minute. Of the starting point is, what do you what do you feel comfortable wearing? And if that's what you feel comfortable wearing, we'll base our football shirt around that. And that will always be the battle between, do we actually say this is a football shirt? You want to wear a football shirt, so you'll wear this. Or we're not sure if you wear a football shirt, so let's give you a black football shirt, and then you're more likely to wear it. And it doesn't matter whether you like football shirts or not, because you'll buy it. And I don't know if that's the thinking again, that it is, this is something that you're okay wearing, so we'll go from there, and then we'll add on our badges, and then you're more likely to buy it.
But surely, Jan, and I know hopefully we will touch on this in a bit, surely colour is also important. And we've had these muted shades for a few years now, haven't we? Especially at international level, we're looking at muted colours and everything else. Mm. Again, when you compare Sweden home and away together as a set of kits, and I'm a firm believer in a set of kits. I think, you know, so much identity is being stripped out of football and out of clubs, out of countries. And you don't have to stick with the same colours every single season to maintain that. But there's lots of subtle little pointers that you can employ to ensure that identity is cohesive across all the outfits. And I look at the Sweden kit and I just think, it looks like their normal kit. And now, in my head, I can't get out of pyjamas. It's like, that's what they wear when they go to bed. It doesn't it doesn't work as a set to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, what it comes down to, I think, is a point you made earlier, is that if you have a 1 year cycle, you will run out of ideas and you will have dud kits as a result. I'm in favour of a one kit cycle, but not if it's a cycle kit though, like Belgium. there will be duds along the road.
Although interestingly, of course, Nike are looking. It looks like it's pretty much a 2 year cycle, isn't it? And not everyone's the same. Scotland has been 2 years. So it's, I don't know. we'll see.
Mm. The Germany Heim kit, just talked about this for a while, so we'll try and move on. But the Germany Heim kit, I've seen it close up, and it is great for a few reasons. I like it a lot. Let's put it that way. I do like it because it's got a classic look to it. There is a pattern down the middle, which most people may not notice, which is actually as part of the weave, which we've talked about on podcasts before. There seems to be a lot of a push towards watermarks over the last few years, or nothing at all in the background. But now they seem to be going back to the jacquard or weave approach, which is, it just increases the quality of the shirt for me.
Definitely.
It seems a lot better, a lot more effort's gone into it. And I would expect it's more expensive to produce a shirt like that as well. On that Germany shirt, just the last point I'll make on Euro 2016 kits is it's better in the long sleeve version, which means I don't have a use for my long sleeved white base layer, but handily I can use it with the new Scotland shirt.
Okay.
But what were your thoughts on that, John?
On the Scotland shirt, or are you using your base layer?
Well, look, I can send you as many pictures as you want of me in a base layer, but more the Scotland stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was asked on BBC Scotland the other week to comment on it, and I think my view of the kits, I think I've been guilty a little bit of sometimes knee-jerk reacting to kits when I see them, and rather than, I think they always need time to settle in. And I think actually once you see them worn for the first time and played in the first time, that can also influence your views. So I deliberately kind of like held my judgment on this a bit. I think the Scotland shirt, both of them, I think both kits look really good. Okay. I think both of them look really good. Whether they're Scotland kits, that's up for debate. That's my take on it. I think the home kit's really fresh. I love having the white back again. I think Scotland kit should always have white in it. I love that. But there's just too much. And it's you know, you don't want a lot of white on a Scotland shirt for the obvious reason. Tartan, I think, is brilliant. And I don't subscribe to the shortbread tin criticism of tartan. I think tartan's a great way to get an identity really into that Scotland shirt. But even the shade of blue they've used is a little bit too light for my liking. So although I like the design, I don't think it's right for Scotland personally. The away kit I think is fine. I've not got a problem with pink kits at all. I know it's still, you know, people still raise eyebrows with a pink kit, which I think we can all suspect what's behind that, and I think that's ridiculous in this day and age. But again, I think Adidas have bottled it slightly because they're pulling the influence of pink from the Rosebery colours, from you know, the amber and pink that Scotland wore a few times in the last sort of century, but they've not gone the whole hog for it, and that's what they did with the last away kit, and I think they've used it to influence the new one, but again, it's not quite right, I don't think.
I'm much more in favour of what they did with the last one.
Definitely.
Than what they've done with this one. If you're going to reference the Rosebery colours, then to do it the way they did last time, which was actually bring something new to it, say, okay, we want a white kit, but we're going to add this as embellishment, the Rosebery colours as embellishment. I think whether you like the kit or not, and I actually quite liked it, I thought it was quite good.
Yeah, I liked it.
But and I can understand why people hated it, but on an aesthetic level, certainly.
Mm.
But this new one is... It wouldn't surprise me if they said, if they presented these kits and you went to the designer and said, oh, you've made sort of a reference to the Rosebery colours, and they looked at you like you were, looked at you gone out as if what you're talking about were the Rosebery. Because it's such a standard. Right. It could almost be, you see teams in pub football wearing like Van der Nel kits or whatever, and they're pink like that.
Yeah, it's just training wear, isn't it, again, Joe, don't you think? That's the vibe I get from it. Yeah.
I think that's even an insult to training wear, because the standard of the sort of stuff that Adidas teams are wearing in training now is so much better than that. I know you think it's an okay kit.
I do, but I wouldn't, again, is it an okay for a national side to be wearing? And I don't think it is, but as a kit, pink and black, or navy, whatever it is, it's fine, you know, but...
I think I'm... The only Yeah, I don't know. I wonder what they're, if they ever play Dulwich Hamlet, they're going to struggle, I think, because they're going to need a third kit.
And the way things are going, that might well happen.
Yeah.
I reckon it'll be a tight game as well.
Yeah. The home kit is, it's interesting, which is, I suppose, is a good thing.
Yeah.
But why the two ideas? This is the thing that doesn't, I don't really understand. And they did it with the last kit as well. There were too many ideas. You had the spider thing and the tartan as well. And it's just, do one of them.
Yeah.
You don't need to do both. So this time they've got the tartan and the white sleeves. Now, the white sleeves would have been a good feature. But again, I don't understand. Proportions come into it. So you've got a blue shirt, white sleeves, then you've got white shorts, and then you've got blue socks. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
So that's too much white. If you're having white sleeves, then that's fair enough. I think maybe you could have had red Adidas stripes and then red socks that would have tied in, maybe.
Great,
That would have been a different way of doing it. But again, like you say, it's not a Scotland kit. And whether it's a good kit or not, it becomes a Scotland kit because it's got the tartan on it. But that's, whilst I don't have a problem with tartan on a kit, that's what drags you back into it being a Scotland kit, because it couldn't be anything but a Scotland kit.
Because you're right, there's no red on there at all now, is there? But again, it looks, I still, when I see it and when I first saw it, I still imagine them warming up in that shirt, going off, coming in for the game, wearing all navy. That's that again, it's that kind of feel. It's like the home kit, but a bit different because it's the warm up or it's the training or whatever it is. And it, you know, that's why I've go back to my view again, that it's a training kit rather than a proper, you know, fit for purpose on the field kit. But it's what I was really interested about, were you saying that, obviously, you know, not being a Scotland supporter, it's like the Northern Ireland kit, isn't it? It's got that same feel with the blue sleeves. I look at the Northern Ireland kit and think, yeah, it looks all right. Why are all the Northern Irish fans getting all up in arms about it? Because it's not, it's got too much blue, it's not traditional. I think, what's the fuss? You know, what's the problem? And then, of course, when my team come out of the kit, I'm all indignant about it as well. So it's, again, it's, you've got to get into the mindset and have empathy with supporters of the team in question, haven't you?
Yeah, I think we will slip into that sometimes where you'll say a kit's great. And it's something that happened with, we did the 50 greatest football shirts ever, and we included certain shirts, and then suddenly on the Football Attic, they were getting all these comments from people saying, that's the one of the worst shirts we've ever had.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't support your football team. I can only look at it from the outside.
That's
so that both opinions are entirely valid.
They're valid, but it's a really interesting angle to come out from a debate, isn't it? Because you're looking at it and you have got to have respect for the fans of the team in question. I think it's important to consider that. But it really made me think with the Scotland one. That's what really hit me at the time.
It's certainly prudent, because it's very unlikely that someone will buy a football shirt by another team, whether that's a consideration or not,
of course,
at the minute.
That
maybe that because you're trying to enter foreign markets, and a foreigner is more likely to buy a club shirt from abroad. So I can buy a Boca Juniors or River Plate shirt or an Italian shirt and so on. It doesn't really matter so much. So maybe they're saying, okay, well, this is the percentage we're going to get from our fans, and it's actually going to be dwarfed by our worldwide sales, which again, you can go back to the Cardiff City approach as well. We changed our kit because people in the Far East who number much more than we have in this country will actually buy Cardiff City shirts. They're more likely to buy a red kit, so we'll put it in red. So that's where we get our revenue from. But it doesn't sound to me like it's the most intelligent thing to do.
No,
you would go with the supporter base who want to buy the shirt each season and will only not buy it if you massacre it.
And it's, again, you can't help but sit down and wonder what is that first meeting like at Adidas or wherever it is, when they get the blank bits of paper out and say, right, where do we start, say, with the new Northern Ireland kit? What do we do with this one? And that's, I'd love to be in that situation, you know, as a designer myself, but not of kits, but of, you know, everything else. It's, you know, what goes through my head when I start a project, but something on this scale, which is far bigger than anything I've ever done, where do you start, and how are these decisions made? I'd love to be a part of that, love to see that.
Rich from the Football Attic said something on the last Football Attic, which is a terrible shame that the Football Attic is being discontinued. But Rich said something on the last... Well, I'm not going to cry too much because he had a go at me on the last podcast. But
oh, I missed that.
You'll have to seek that one out. Yeah, he said he made a mention of me liking bass layers, and he said bass layers aren't even a thing. So we're not even going to discuss whether bass layers will be around in 20 years' time because they're not even a thing. They don't matter. It's only Jay that cares about them. You know, that argument could so easily be levelled at football kits as well.
And it was for years, Jay. It was for years.
Exactly. So we sometimes need to take a step outside of this world we live in and say, well, does it even matter to people? And I wonder whether it matters to the designers to the same extent as, well, I know it doesn't to a lot of them. It is just a day job, and you'll go in and you've got a task to complete and you've got a project to go through, and some of them really care, like Jason Lee, who's on Twitter as El Gago.
Oh, yeah,
he really is passionate about
his
it.
His stuff is great.
The thought he puts into it is, you could see he cares about what he's doing, but I don't know if that's always the case. In fairness,
but of course, well, there's two things. First, I mean, I was lucky enough to meet with a couple of really senior Nike designers, football designers, about 8 years ago, something like that, and they were just on a tour, almost a world tour of meeting supporters of national teams to get their feedback on kit. And I thought, what a job that is, you know. So not just, you know, spending 20 minutes on Google researching, you're actually traveling the world, experiencing these cultures, speaking to fans, getting that feedback. How well that works, of course, is up for debate, but for that to happen, I think is really exciting. But of course, when you're saying that about how much thought designers put into it, look at where we're at though with kit design. We've got a massive, it's like the rich and poor, isn't it? We've got bespoke kits like these ones here, for a lot of these for the Euros, and then we've got stacks and stacks and stacks of team wear. There's almost no in between. We go from one extreme to the other.
There is an in between, but it's barely noticeable. And
no, it's thinner now, isn't it, than ever before?
Well, you can actually define the in-between. And what it is, it's the top kit watered down to team wear. So let's say an Adidas kit that is immediately recognisable because it's of its ties to a major club, it's bespoke kit that's been produced for them. Then you have the team wear at the other end of the scale, which covers the bottom three tiers of most leagues, often infiltrates the top division as well, and then every pub team, and if they can afford an Adidas kit or a Nike kit or so on. Then in between you have what looks to you to be a team wear kit, but if you actually look through the team wear range, it's not there in that colorway.
Okay.
So you've got it's a approximation of, say, Man United's kit or so on. But it's watered down to the extent of the team wear kit, but it's in, say, a black collar with a white shirt, which they haven't actually marketed as being available to pub teams. And you're not going to notice that because it does look like team wear. But for that to be the in-between is shocking. In effect, there is no in-between.
Well, you've got a slight in-between when the likes of Macron and... do you know what? My mind's gone completely blank. Brands of that area as well. You've got brands of that ilk, even Kappa to an extent, doing their stuff. And I think they're that's the real important stuff. I've always thought that, you know, going back decades ago with Ribeiro and even Admiral and people like that, you've got to have these people shaking it up as well. So that there's those ones there as at the same time. But it's almost like we went on holiday recently to an all-inclusive place, and the food was okay, but it was a bit bland. And it's like going to a posh restaurant and having a, you know, really spicy meal that is to some people's tastes but not to others, and then having a bland generic mashed potato and sausages that's so stripped of any real individuality, loads of people will like it. And it's a similar thing, isn't it, where they're designing shirts that are kind of like mashed potato and appeal to a lot of people.
I mean, on that idea of appealing to a lot of people, I did see something brilliant the other day. I'm not sure if it's this season's, but there are a lot of ingredients that go into a football shirt now, as we've discussed. And black shirts are particularly popular for the reasons that we've said, that you're more likely to wear a black top because it's inoffensive and it's more likely to be worn with jeans and all these these horrible, horrible ideas that
marketing have.
But it makes money. Yeah. So I saw a shirt the other day, a Bristol City shirt, and they famously wore, I think it was, what was it, green and purple. They famously had a green and purple kit in the in the mid-90s.
And Black Fawn Cider, wasn't it, was the sponsor?
Yeah, I think that's the one, yeah. Mm. And they've got a black shirt either this season or last season, and it's just got a central vertical stripe in one side in purple and the other side in green on a black shirt. And that's perfect. It's ticked every single box. You're referring to a cult classic shirt. You've done it in a classy way, so the shirt looks good, everything's balanced, and you've also got the marketing guys satisfied because you've done it in black and it's going to get more sales as a result. Obviously, Bristol City have about 7 fans, so no one's going to buy the shirt. But as a principle, and I'm being facetious there, obviously, but the principle there is great, and they've added everything in together to say, okay, well, this is, and that's almost perfection for a football shirt in these times we live in.
Do you know, I'm looking at that as we're speaking, Jay, as well. Who makes that kit?
I think it's their own manufacturer, isn't it? Bristol Sport or something like that.
Because what's really interesting, well, is it interesting? It is to us. It's all black, and yet the socks are purple. So we're right back to where we started. We're looking at socks, and also the shorts have got green trim on one leg and purple on the other.
It's now my favourite kit. It's my favourite kit ever. I might buy it myself. I might become an honorary Bristol City fan.
Wouldn't it be lovely to have the money to better buy all the kits that you like? I love that idea of thinking, I like that kit, I'm going to buy it. I'm never going to wear it, I just want to own it, you know.
I'm quite insulted by this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Assumption that I don't have the money.
I'm really?
No, I really, really don't.
No, you haven't. No, okay.
So everything that we've just talked about, what do you see for next season? Obviously, the kits are starting being leaked, and where do you see the progression going now?
Oh, goodness me. Do you know what? I haven't given up. It's a tough one. Looking at some of the things that I'm hearing, I think we're going to be back to bold colours again. I think that's the muted days, I would think, are going to be over. So, but it's so difficult to predict. And of course, when these designers are doing it, they're predicting 2 years ahead, aren't they, or something like that. I would say, going back to bold colours, I think we're still going to be looking at tight-fitting, slim-fitting kits as well. I don't think that's going to change in the near future. But I think we're going to be moving further and further away from tradition, though. This season in the Premier League, there's a massive amount of green kits, green change shirts. I don't know if you've picked up on that as well. Lots and lots of different colours coming in. I can't see that changing. I think we're going to continue with another season, possibly, of obscure away colours and change colours.
The Sunderland away kit, whilst also being a horrible kit, I don't really understand. It makes no sense to me. It's an awful kit, and it's a green away kit, which I don't know if they've got a history of green away kits. It doesn't.
But that seems to be what's happening, Jay. I feel is that there's so little historical justification for lots of these designs. I think Fulham are a great example. Off the top of my head, I don't even know what colour they're wearing this season, but several of their away kits over the last few years have been completely random colours, and Sunderland's a great example of that. It doesn't feel right, does it?
It's not a good enough kit to to be released if it doesn't tie into the history. I think you need one or the other. So if it's, I might be wrong. It might be that Sunderland have had green away kits throughout the 80s, and there's a reference to that.
yeah, I didn't think they did. Swansea as well. Swansea are doing it. They've got this kind of a luminous green and navy away kit. That you know.
What's the reason for it? That ties us quite nicely into something else I wanted to discuss with you. The Norwich kits for this season. Norwich are allowed to wear a green away kit. We'll allow them that. But this season, well, what are your thoughts on it? I know you've talked about the Norwich kits before, haven't you?
I have. Do you know what? I wrote this wonderful in my own mind, wonderful blog on this, and it was really lengthy, and I read it back, and it was so angry. I've never posted it because I was just, it felt really, really negative.
And you something, John, sorry. I wanted to discuss this with you, and I thought, I have to check True Colours because I'm sure he's so angry about this that he's going to have written something about it. And I didn't check, and as you said that, I thought, oh no, I didn't check and I haven't read it, and he has written something about it.
I'll send you the link to it, Joe, but it's so damning, and it really sums up something's going wrong at the moment, and I'm sure there's a reason behind it. I'm sure there's an agenda, although I'm blowed if I can figure out what it is. But it was so negative, and I don't want to be negative. I find myself doing it a lot, but I really try and celebrate kit design. I try and look for the positive, and I struggled a bit with that one. So I think there's lots to discuss there with Norwich. I'm not, not right.
I mean, what are your problems with it? So just to give people an idea,
okay.
People might not have seen the kits, but just give us a quick overview of why people, and you're not the only one. A lot of people have come out in anger against these kits.
If you haven't seen it, of course, Norwich, the home shirt is tying back to some anniversary, and rather than being all yellow shirt, green shorts, it's a half and half shirt, I think, with alternate sleeves, I think.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
The away shirt, it's a really nice shirt, green with pinstripes. And the third shirt is a hooped rugby-style shirt of yellow, green and black, I think, off the top of my head.
It's amber, I think. I think it's yellow,
it's
amber.
It is amber, isn't it? It's a different... You're right. So when you look at them together, the first thought that comes into my head and the first thing I always think about of a football shirt is it fit for purpose? Does it give enough colour differentiation, if that's the right word, to the opposition? Can they wear it? So if Norwich play a team in yellow, can they wear one of those kits and have a good difference? If they wear a team in green, can they also have a suitable something in their armour? When I looked at that, I just thought, no, I don't think there is enough difference there. The home the away shirt is the same colour as half of the home shirt. That doesn't make sense to me. The third shirt is quite clearly, from my view, coming at it from some kind of fashion, leisure, high street angle, rather than anything that's fit for purpose on the field of play. I think with all that's going on, it's easy just to say, do you know what? Let's look at the colours. Look at the away colours Norwich have worn. That's a suitable away colour for this season. Why they feel the need to almost mould the home colours into all three kits, I just don't get it. I do not get it at all. And also the fact that the logo is horrendously huge and massive and dominates the shirt on all three further compounds the misery.
That, I mean, I take the point, but that's not true. That what you've just said is not true. That the logo, the manufacturer's you're talking about the sponsor's logo, Aviva, aren't you?
I know what you're going to say, actually, and I think you're right. Go on.
There are strict restrictions, and this fascinates me. Because as much as I love football shirts, I do love the marketing side, and I do like the idea of some kind of evil mastermind behind everything who looks, sees these loopholes in the rules. So what they've actually done is Aviva, obviously it's a square logo anyway, but... Or it's based around a square. And what they've actually done is they've put the logo on there, and there is a restriction on how big you can put the logo. So what they've done is put a huge box as part of the shirt design around the logo, so the attention is immediately drawn to that. And it's more centralized on the home, the logo inside this box is more centralized on the home shirt than it is on the third shirt. So it's in a weird position on the third shirt, which I think it has to be an error somewhere down the line, but I don't know why they'd make such a terrible error. But for whatever reason, it does draw your attention to the logo, and you think the logo is bigger. That, for me, is fantastic. Yeah. I love that. I think that's a great thing that they've done.
No.
From, whether, and I want to know whether it's Aviva have gone in and said, look, we've found a way around these restrictions that the Premier League have put in place, and if you want us to pay this amount to sponsor you this season, then this is what you're going to do with your kit design. That really excites me, that idea that they've been, that there is that much evil in the world that they could come up with things like this, that the corporate world has that amount of power.
You're right. I mean, it is, I realise my error, it is the application of the logo that is the problem, and not the logo itself. So you're quite right. And of course, the argument is that with that home shirt, what else could they have done? How else could they have treated that logo to work with a half and half shirt? So yeah, there is some truth there.
There is, the way of doing it would be to put it in white with or yellow with a green outline. If it's got a green outline, then you can see it on both sides. But it wouldn't draw the eye the same way. So they're over the moon, Aviva, with the way that shirt's turned out, even if people don't like the shirt as a result, which again it's these two ideas being at odds.
Yeah.
Regarding what you say there, and I think you probably are aware of this anyway, Dennis Hurley, who's we both know and is a friend of both our websites, Dennis Hurley has written a long piece. Well, I don't know if it's classed as a long piece, but it's wordy, explaining why there's not a problem with the Norwich kits. And it is based on, you mentioned if they play a team in green or if they play teams in yellow. It's very unlikely that this is going to happen. They play Watford in the Premier League. I think they could play like Plymouth or something in the FA Cup. So those kits have been put together and they're not actually wrong. The only thing that they've done, there is a method that will allow them, and this isn't always the case. I mean, Tottenham have made this mistake in recent seasons. It's not always the case that a team does provide enough alternatives, but Norwich actually have. And to actually manage to provide all the alternatives they need, you might need to swap shorts and socks. That's the only thing. But they have in their, say, kit wardrobe, they have enough permutations to allow them to allow there not to be a clash versus any team that they are likely to play in the competitions that they're involved with this season. So either it's genius or someone has it slipped through and it's actually worked out okay. But what I do like about it is the idea, and I know you're against it, but I do like the idea of saying these are our colours. If we can get them on our three kits and we're identifiable, or regardless of who we're playing against, regardless of the match, regardless of where we are, you'll always know it's Norwich. And there is, it's maybe a stretch, but there is the feeling of that with these kits.
Can I just adjust, because I mean, Dennis's piece is brilliant, and he's a real expert when it comes to analysing shirt clashes and looking at what kits work against other kits. My argument would be, I don't want to go on, I'll go on to this in a minute, you shouldn't have to sit down and analyse it. It should be in a flash. You should be able to see there's a difference between those two kits. I think meticulously working out proportions is not really relevant. But anyway, going back to the home colours, I think, as I've mentioned earlier, identity is massively important. And I think it's been neglected in football kits for a long while. That needs to come back in. So I can see the argument for saying, OK, let's roll out our home colours across as many of our kits as possible. But there's no problem with saying, okay, Liverpool playing red at home, they play in white away. It's still unmistakably Liverpool. We get the badge on there. That should be enough. If the kits are crafted correctly and with consideration, there should be no identity crisis with a different shirt. And a shirt needs to be notably different to the home kit. When I think Dennis mentioned as well this rule, and I've never picked up on this rule before, but there's a lovely way it's worded in the Premier League handbook that says the kit should be sufficiently different so that if the away kit played against the home kit, they wouldn't clash.
Yeah,
or words to that effect. You know the rule I mean.
One of the alternate kits needs to be enough of a change.
That's it,
I don't think it needs to be the first choice away kit, but one of the other kits.
One of them.
Has to, if it was used, say, in a training match, let's say, as an example of a situation where it might happen, then you'd be able to identify the two teams clearly.
And I think that's the key point here. I think, keep that identity, but there's so many other wonderful ways that could be done.
Yeah.
And it's been done, it's worked well for decades and decades and decades. There's no reason to say that's not working now. In fact, there's plenty of other reasons that are stripping away clubs' identities, not so much colour usage, I think. So that's one aspect, I would say. The second thing is, okay, Dennis has looked at that and said there's no clashes. But there's no judgment in that. That's more by luck than judgment. How are Norwich's kit guys going to know, A, who they're even playing next season, and B, what their kits are going to be? I can't think for a moment all the clubs have a little chin wag and say, what are you wearing away from Mike? You're wearing, okay. Well, in that case, we won't have that. It can't happen. So the simplest, safest and most common sense thing is, okay, we're playing yellow at home. We're going to have yellow and green this season as our primary colours. Let's have a nice white away kit, red away kit, blue away kit. All colours that Norwich wear quite happily. Then there's no debate. It's more by luck than judgement. If you look at the plethora of green away kits in the Premier League this season, what if Watford had said, let's have an all green away kit for a change? If Sunderland can do it, Watford can do it. That would really have put a spanner in the works. I don't think any of those kits, the third at a push, but even then it'd have been a mess. I think it's been a very risky move, and I just think there was no need for it. For the benefit it gives the club, it just seems an unnecessary move. But then, if you look at so many colour choices that are going on in the league at the moment, it seems like maximum, and I'm talking maximum colour differences, don't seem to be relevant anymore. Look at, you know, Man City, Chelsea is the prime example, sky blue against royal blue. So maybe there's a culture change in football where they don't want the teams to be radically different, they just want them to be a little bit different. Is there a psychological advantage there? It seems to be too contrived to not be deliberate.
Yeah.
Sorry, I went on for one a bit there, didn't I?
This, I think, we're straying into talking about clashes and what is a clash and what's not a clash. And I think people could just go to your website and look through some of the comments on there, which has been going on for
It's relevant for these Norwich kits, though, Jay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The one thing I would say is, I agree that 2 years ago when these kits were put into development, they wouldn't have known who they were playing against. So they've got lucky on that point.
Yeah.
What I'd also say is, if you look at on proportions, why have they got green shorts with their home kit if they've got a half shirt? If you're talking about Norwich proportions, surely you'd wear yellow shorts with the home shirt and green shorts with the away kit.
I think that goes out the window now. I don't think that's being taken. That's what I think third-party analysts are looking at proportions. I don't think kit designers are anymore.
I hope they are. I think that's what happens every season with Barcelona kits, because they change the shorts and so on so regularly that it seems to be tying in with the thickness of the stripes and so on the shirt, and maybe the colours they've got on the sleeves, whether they have red shorts or blue shorts. So I hope that it is, especially for people who know what they're doing. I hope, because the instant recognisability when you're watching on television or in the stadium, that's important. And I don't think Barcelona get it wrong. I can always make them out. This last season, is it this season or last? Are they wearing hooped shirts this season? They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Barcelona. Yeah. So I'd even forgotten that they were in hoop shirts, because they've got the proportions just right.
Yeah,
you watch Barcelona
playing
and you think, well, it's just Barcelona. So this whole controversy that happened, it seems to have gone out the window because they're just Barcelona. They look like them. So with the Norwich kit, if they had worn the yellow shorts with the home shirt, then that would have still looked like a Norwich home kit. And if you looked at the three kits together, you probably wouldn't have immediately leapt out and said, well, they obviously are not fulfilling their purpose as a season's kit.
I mean, I think one aspect, when you look at all three of them together, and that's especially relevant to do this, I think the third kit, I think it's a bit of a dog's dinner, I have to say. I think there's too many colours there. But you know what? It's not that far off from being a brilliant kit. And this is just from my personal view. I think a few tweaks could have made that a really, really nice design. The problem for me is the away kit. Again, it's a cracking design. I really like it. But that's, for me, the spanner in the works. If you look at so many, we don't have this culture so much in this country. If you look at a lot of continental and kind of worldwide kits, quite often their third kit is almost a leisure version of the home kit, isn't it? I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but I can provide them if necessary. And I think that's kind of what Norwich have done. They've sort of said, look, home kit colours are these. The away kit, this is the kind of, this is a cuddly, leisure, man-about-town version of the home kit. Mm. And it's the away kit that needs to really earn its keep, and that's the one that I think isn't doing it. Yeah. I think if that had been white, or even I love seeing Norwich in red for some odd reason, that could have worked really well. And then you've got with a bit of a push, a nice third kit as an option that's kind of worn just really for something a bit different.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that. After reading Dennis's article, I'm of the opinion that they're not as bad as they could have been, and they are at first glance. I don't like the third kit particularly, but I think it probably ticks a box for whatever they wanted. So it's that rugby style shirt. Maybe that's popular. I don't know.
But you see, it's again though, Jay. It's that thing. I would argue that it's again by luck and judgment. It's very, very fortunate that that's worked out. But also the benefit that comes from rolling out your colours across all three kits, is that really that great than to have a kit that's fit for purpose, that there's no grey area, there's no debate, there's no looking at colour proportions? At a glance, you say, yeah, that's different to that one. And that's the point I don't understand. I don't understand why that can't be done today. And why it is, not so why it can't be done, why it isn't being done, because it's clearly deliberate.
I wrote a piece on this a while back, and I argued against that completely and said that if you think that the first purpose of football kits is their functionality on the pitch, then you're wrong. The purpose of football kits is to make money. So the first thought will always be, how are we going to make money out of the three kits we release next season? And then do they fit into what we need them to do on the pitch? And your argument, I agree, that second stage never happened with the Norwich kits. They said, okay, well, these are the kits we want to market, but we'll sort it out later how we manage to put them on the pitch. And it's not that rare for a team to bring out a teamwear-based fourth kit or something, because the referee in midweek when he sent the kit says, well, no, you can't wear that in the match on Saturday, so you're going to have to get yourself another kit. But we've talked about this a long, long time, and we could go on for hours.
It's a really good point, and Dennis's argument was so well put together that I can see the validity in it. But you know, I would still stick my neck out. But it's a good discussion to have.
Just for anyone who wants to read, I don't know if you can navigate. His site is fantastic. It's CorkCityKits.com, and it has a history of Cork City's kits, which they are trendsetters, and they've had some fantastic kits over the years, particularly in the 80s and 90s. So a lot of the Adidas kits that will be familiar, they've always had a slightly different version of them, which is worth reading about and looking through the galleries on there. If you go to corkcitykits.com/norwich.html, that will take you direct to the article. You might be able to navigate there from the introduction page as well, but that address will take you to that article, and it's brilliant. It's worth reading.
And if you email me personally, I'll send you the article I never posted on.
Well, you need to edit it now, because hasn't Dennis debunked a lot of your theories that you put in it?
Yeah, and take out the expletives as well.
Oh, right,
that's
okay.
The other thing I'll need to do.
Okay.
It hasn't debunked any of my arguments, Jay. I still stand
well, yeah. that's your take on matters. The other thing... I think we've talked for a long, long time now, so we should probably start looking towards winding this up. But Christmas is coming. Is there anything... I mean, we I celebrate Christmas. Do you celebrate Christmas, John?
I do. I'm not the world's greatest lover of Christmas, I have to say.
Okay, well, it's a time of giving presents. Is there anything that's caught your eye that you want or you'll be giving to people as a Christmas present?
Well, do you know what there is? There's something else that kind of comes from it as well. There's been so many really great commemorative kits been released worldwide that I've been had my attention drawn to from Rich, of course, who we mentioned earlier, from the Football Attic, that I'd never been aware of. And there's so many really good ones. Off the top of my head, I can't name you any of them, or let alone pronounce the clubs that are in question. But I love some of those really old retro styled one. I think one of them was it a Palmer shirt? That would have actually gone back to original fabric styles as well. It's those kinds of things that I really like. But because I've missed them first time round, you can't get them now. So anything like that would be good. Rich's book, of course, his football shirt collection, second volume of that's out. And that's a great read for any shirt collector. There's also a new book just come out, actually, on Leicester City kits, which looks quite good. I'm going to order a copy a bit later on today. I think it's only available from the club, but it's like a celebration, I think, of... It looks like match-worn Leicester shirts over the years, so that'll be a good read as well. But from a shirt point of view, probably not. I mean, I think... Do we start to see discounts on kits at Christmas? I suppose we do, don't we?
You'd hope so. The way it tends to work out is that the most popular sizes have run out by about October or certainly I used to buy Celtic shirts and I haven't bought one for a couple of seasons, but the sponsorless long sleeve version used to be sold out by the end of August generally. So,
really?
Yeah, goodness. Because they only made a certain amount of them and that was often the most popular one, so you'd end up with something else. I don't know if they realised that or...
Yeah.
Well, they did it deliberately to make it more sought after. So that quarter they made a lot of money because a lot of people jumped in to get it straight away. I'm not sure, but I've mentioned a couple of things that I like. The Germany home shirt in long sleeved is one I probably won't get, but I do quite like it. I'm just going to be. It's just base layers for me. I would have thought just add some more to my collection. The one interesting thing is Paris Saint-Germain have got a black third kit. And it's got a very sort of structural design. I mean, I'm not going to buy a Paris Saint-Germain shirt, that's for sure. But the third kit, which is actually their Champions League home shirt.
Because it's only the French that do that, isn't it? Isn't it? Would they have a third kit that is their Champions League first shirt, is that right?
Yeah. Well, Marseille have done it for a few seasons. I think
probably
Lyon do it as well. It's not really right. No one should do that. They should,
no.
Especially in Europe, maybe, as well. That's... When for the only time the teams from another country get to play like the big team from that country, you'd expect them to be wearing their proper kit, but
it's very odd.
The Paris Saint-Germain have got a black third shirt, which is their Champions League home shirt, and they're supposed to have. And this was fantastic to me when I heard about this. They're supposed to have a pink base layer that goes underneath this black shirt, and then there's holes in the shirt. So the pink shows through, but then the sleeves, it gradually becomes black again. So that was supposed to, this was supposed to be okay. It was supposed to accede to the requirements of UEFA and so on. But when they've worn this shirt, this black shirt in Europe, they haven't worn that. They've worn a plain black base layer. So in the end, I think maybe they got it wrong and UEFA have said, no, well, you can't wear a pink base layer with a black shirt. That's not happening. So that's something that I've ummed and ahed about buying, because it's again like the Germany away shirt, it's a moment of history where they've actually done something a little bit different and said we're going to integrate the base layer with the outer shirt in a slightly different way. But I'm just a base layer fetishist, so
I can see the attraction. I must admit, I can't see the point of it, but I can see the attraction of it, definitely. I mean, what do you think then about PSG having a black third shirt when they've got a navy home shirt? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me either.
I think we've
touched
discussed
on that.
Yeah, we've more than touched on it. But
I can see why you're attracted to that though. That's a little bit of innovation, isn't it? That's something a bit different.
Well,
getting a bit of colour in there as well.
Well, it's almost beyond that where you're saying our shirts are now two piece.
Yeah.
You have the outer shirt, and then you have this other shirt, and without them, it's incomplete. They Paris Saint-Germain played in a Champions League game. I don't want to be too glib about this, but they played in a Champions League game the other day where they wore the sponsor Je suis Paris, which is a reference to the attacks a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, now, I was going to ask your views on that, actually, yeah.
Well, I don't really understand why a team from Paris feels it necessary to show solidarity with Paris. That seems perverse to me. But whatever, there are a lot of arguments we could get into about everything that went on in Paris, and it's incredibly sad for those affected. But the tying in of marketing with these causes and this kind of thing, it just seems newsworthy for being newsworthy's sake sometimes. But the base layer, if they had like a mesh pattern to that, its sponsor could have been lit up in pink, I suppose. I don't know.
But I think that's something I've often predicted, or in fact I predicted it, crikey, about 10-15 years ago, but it's never come about, is how sponsors could be enhanced on shirts and made, you know, without breaking the rules, but made more of. So yeah, I mean, that could have been a nice way, couldn't it, a nice technique.
Well, we won't go into that now, we'll maybe save that for another day, but there is the technology there to have a video playing on your shirt without really causing any problems to the wearer, or certainly a vine, let's say, a repetition of a graphic could be playing on a shirt. But
can I just ask you though, Jay, I mean, obviously from just touching briefly on this, on the French incident, the French situation, and from a kit perspective, what was your take on the Hamilton Academical decision to wear a French white away shirt?
I did see it, and there's a political response, and then there's a kit geek response. I don't know. It's a nice touch. It's nice to show solidarity with people, I suppose. There's a lot of people dying in the world all the time, and to make such a change to say, that was a home game as well, wasn't it? They usually wear red and white hoops in home games, and they were wearing this. I think was it Celtic maybe? Anyway,
Aberdeen
was it? Sorry. So they were wearing So it solved the kit clash for a start, because Aberdeen were able. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it kills two birds with one stone, but so they were wearing all white, and they were wearing the France away kit, and they had a special printed thing on the middle, which. Yeah. Refer to solidarity between Scotland and France, which is a great gesture, but I don't know. My political side says, why do you care so much about this when there's other things? Because a lot of people are about to die in Syria, and a lot of civilians are about to die in Syria. Now, no one's going to be changing their kit week in, week out to say, oh, okay, well, this has just happened in Syria and this has just happened there. So it's a nice gesture, and it comes from the right place, but I think it's born of the media focusing on one atrocious goings on rather than something else. And I would have preferred if it was business as usual as far as football kits were concerned, I would say.
I think I agree totally. I mean, I think it's a lovely thought, but it feels a little bit too much, and a little bit, I don't know, a little bit over the top response. I think, and it's horrible to say because it's a lovely gesture, but I don't know if it works. Apparently, I'm just reading here, they were actually planning to wear the blue, the home shirt, but couldn't get enough of the right sizes, and ended up in the white away, and that almost makes the whole thing even a bit more.
I prefer it. I must say, I much prefer. At least they look like Hamilton.
Yeah,
to a certain extent.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a great idea, but it's an interesting thing that you. I just wanted to get your take on it. Just thought I'd ask.
But just on that subject again, obviously the first game that France played after that was against England, and they did wear blue shirt, white shorts and red socks against England, and I have a feeling if it hadn't been for, by that point, the ubiquitous nature of the French tricolour flag, I think they might have worn blue shorts against England. I think they might have originally been set to wear blue shorts against to provide a full contrast against England's all white. I have a feeling that they wore the tricolor, or the traditional tricolor look, even though that is their first choice anyway. I think they wore it because everything has been, since then, everything is about, this is our flag, we've projected onto this, we've projected onto this building, and so on. But
and that would have been, wouldn't that have been an incredibly powerful, that's, that would have been an incredibly powerful gesture, but one with moderation and kind of taste as well, wouldn't it, if that had been the case, if they'd done that.
Well, they did wear the French flag colours against
but if they, for example, were wearing, I mean, what's, are their home shorts blue normally at the moment?
No, their first choice kit is blue shirt, white shorts, and red socks. But I think that if it hadn't been for what happened on Friday, they would have worn blue shorts against England. Yeah, but they think didn't. They did wear their.
Just say their home kit was all blue for the sake of argument. I think if they changed it then to reflect the flag, that's a way of getting across that gesture, but in a very powerful but moderate way, rather than a tasteless way. I'm not saying anyone's tributes are tasteless. I'm not saying that, but it would have been a very elegant way to do it, which is what you would have expected from France, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I'm a picture of elegance at all times. I think it probably did happen, and it's just something that had to happen, really, because they wouldn't have worn anything else. I think if England had worn blue shirt, white shorts, and red socks in that game, France would have turned out in exactly the same thing. There was no way that France weren't going to wear their tricolour kit in that game, I think.
And there you go. There's the power of football kits, and especially at a national level as well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that recognisability is all important, and sometimes that gets forgotten. Yeah.
Good.
Okay. So on that slightly depressing note, maybe we should. Is there nothing more cheery we could talk about?
Oh, I'm trying to think.
It has to be both concise and cheery. We'll end on that. Okay, well, brilliant. this has been so much fun, so enjoyable for me. Pleasure talking to you,
likewise,
as always,
Jay.
Yeah.
Absolute pleasure.
Just to give you a little bit more information, John is available to talk to as True Colours Kits on Twitter.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And there is a True Colours Football Kits Facebook page, which everyone should like as well. And, of course, his website is truecolorsfootballkits.com.
.com.
Brilliant. Okay, because I just about got those. which is a brilliant website to visit. John may or may not be uploading his Norwich article at some point.
I'll think about that. Yeah, Christmas treat, maybe.
Something to look forward to there. Of course, please visit the designfootball.com website as well. There's enormous amount of designs, new designs being added all the time. There's competitions to get involved with, fantasy designs, fancy kit designs, fancy crest designs, stadium designs, everything you could imagine from amateur kit designers around the world. So please sign up if you haven't already done that, and look through the galleries there. You can contact us on Twitter, which is Design Football, and we're also on Facebook. Designfootball.com is the name of the page on there as well, so you should be able to find us on there. But that, I think, covers everything that we wanted to talk about, and hopefully we'll do this again, so give us feedback. Yeah, I'd love to speak to you again, John.
Excellent.
And
thanks for asking us on, Jay.
No problem at all. So have a good week, and I'll speak to you soon.
Cheerio. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.